It's Wednesday, which means we're back with another episode of the Finance for Artists and Musicians podcast with me, Danny Place. I am super excited to be sitting down today with this particular singer-songwriter, Grant Terry, whose music has garnered millions of streams as a songwriter and artist, respectively. That is not easy to do, especially as an independent artist. The North Louisiana native went on to share the stage with Eric Church, Sam Hunt, Mark Broussard, Kelsey Ballerini, Matt Wirt, Sinclair, and more, just to name drop a few. His first studio album, All She Wrote, promptly went to number 3 on the iTunes singer-songwriter charts. His songs have been featured in many projects around the world, films, TV shows such as MTV's Catfish and Hallmark's Cedar Cove, and over 100 ad placements. The now Nashville-based artist has written songs with and for David Dunn, Lacey Cavalier, Johnny Stimson, and others, and he is now working on his next album. This is Finance for Artists and Musicians with your friend, me, Danny Place. Before we get started, I want you to breathe and release any judgment or pressure you have on yourself because we are all learning here and trying to survive this thing called life. Well, thanks for being on the show, Grant Terry.
Thanks for having me. I've always wanted to be on.
Is it weird that I just first and last named you?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, how long have you been a
magician?
Magician.
Should we start over already?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's start over.
Okay, how should I start my podcast?
Okay, you can start like that. However you want.
One, two, intro.
Sorry, you go ahead.
You start.
No, you do it. You're doing great.
No. Please. Be me.
Okay, sorry. Go.
Grant, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. Doing great. So you're a singer-songwriter in Nashville.
Yes.
I'd like to start how we met.
I was playing a show at a house party, and you crashed the house party. I'd already played, and I met you at the very end of the party. We became best friends. And we found each other at the snack table.
The core of any good friendship.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a musician?
Over 10 years, probably over a decade. And I bought a guitar my freshman year of college and was like, pretty quickly into that semester, first semester, was like, maybe I'm a songwriter. I just didn't know it yet. And so I started writing tunes, and 10 years later, and here I am meeting you at house parties.
Yeah. Would you say you peaked?
Yes. I think I finally made it.
I did too. When you came back from college, was your family supportive of you venturing out and being a musician, or like, you need to finish college?
I don't know. I was still in college and learning guitar at the same time, and I wasn't really taking class very seriously. And so I think at a certain point, they were like, we're happy that you are making a decision of what you want to do. And
Stop
wasting money going to college and not go to class. So,
what were you studying or majoring?
Oh my gosh, it shows you how little it mattered because I have a hard time remembering. I think I was going to do like kinesiology, but I'm pretty sure I didn't make it very far into that. And so I was going to be like a baseball coach or something.
Now that you've been in Nashville for, 10 plus years?
10 plus years.
Yeah. What have you learned along the way that you wish you knew when you started out?
That's a great question. I definitely wish that I would have learned earlier on that the music business is a business and how to run your business like a business and not like a party. I was always having a good time and not being very financially careful, which is why I'm so interested in this podcast, so I can take a deep dive into how to correct my bad behavior.
I think you're just buttering me up, so I edit this well in your favor.
Exactly.
But you've primarily had a grassroots approach to building your fan base. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just started playing little shows around the area I was living in, Louisiana, and started playing any opportunities that I got, and then people just started calling, and next thing you know, you're going all over the place playing shows, and that was back when you sold CDs, and so I would travel around with CDs and sell CDs out of the back of my car at coffee shops and bars and all different kind of venues.
Do you think that, like in the days of CDs, it was actually more profitable for musicians versus the days of streaming?
Yes, definitely.
Say more.
You make a lot more off selling a $10 CD versus having your album streamed on Spotify or YouTube for free. Nowadays, music is to promote yourself and not to make money.
Yeah, so the margins have significantly gone down with streaming.
Yes.
Do you think there's a benefit, though, to streaming as far as accessibility and being able to have more brand awareness?
Totally. I think that streaming isn't all bad, but it definitely makes less money compared to selling. The streaming services can have, if they choose to promote your stuff on their platform, like they have an audience that they can help you get discovered on. So, yes, it can help you get new fans and more fans, but mostly your music is for promoting your brand and then selling tickets on the road if you can. But music is more so for marketing now than selling.
Yeah. Have you found any return on this new model of streaming or not so much?
Streaming isn't a money-making model for songwriters.
Are the tides changing, though?
I think so. So they have to pay a higher royalty right now to songwriters, but that hasn't,
good.
I don't know when that's going to be, but I think they're going to back pay the past couple of years and then onward. And it's like the biggest raise in a couple of years. But I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know. I don't want to get too excited, but it should be coming down the pipeline.
Is that also for freelance musicians, or is it mainly for...
It's for all musicians.
All musicians, okay. So what have you realized about investing your time and money into music over the years?
Investing your money into music is investing your money into your passions. It's not like the best financial investment, but it is great to fund your passions. Explore the creative world and put yourself out there. Put your art out there. It costs money to put your art out there, and you don't get any back. It's pretty much the deal.
Yeah. What is the weirdest side job that you had?
I used to drive for Uber. I would drive around Nashville, and I would pick up people and take them wherever they were going, to work or to the airport and to the bar, wherever they were going. And I would play them my music in my car. And I have a lot of fans that I made through driving Uber. One of the few times that I have been in Spotify's favor is one time I actually picked up someone working for Spotify. Like, he was the head of country music playlisting. It was a 20-minute drive to his house. And I was like, oh, what do you do for work? And he was like, oh, I work at Spotify. I was like, oh, this is my chance. And I pitched him my song that just came out. And he loved it and gave me his email address and was like, I can help you put this on a playlist. And a few months later, got it on a big playlist and got me out of driving Uber, which was back on tour, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I think you just inspired a lot of people to work for Uber.
Yeah, you never know. It can be a great networking opportunity.
Have you seen there's certain qualities that make somebody more successful and pop off in, I guess, the music industry more than others? Or is it just purely luck of the draw?
I think it is a lot of hard work and a lot of self-belief. And then also it takes a lot of luck, or at least a lot of help. And so networking and being good with people and being good to people and them seeing you working hard is kind of where you get the help. Is people go, oh, I believe in that person, and I see they're helping themselves. And so then that's kind of doors can tend to open up if you're working hard and, you're good to other people.
Yeah. I was just thinking about social media and marketing on social media. But I feel like the platforms come and go, what's hot and what's not. So do you think it's worthwhile to invest in promoting on Facebook and Instagram if, I guess TikTok is the new platform, the hot platform that's really moving music numbers. But then, so do you want to invest regularly in that only for another new company to come up and then that gets pushed to the wayside?
Marketing is big in any business. And so whatever platforms are available to market your music on, I think it's a great idea and easier now than ever to do that. So I think I've seen a lot of people have a lot of success on marketing themselves on social medias and Instagram and TikToks, but just because a new one pops up or because social trends change, I don't think that means that promoting yourself or your business is ever bad. It's kind of going to follow the waves of the social trends.
There's so many places to make it in music. You have to spend so much money in most cases, right? And is there a more strategic way to do that where you're not just spending all your money on promotion and making the music? When can you start seeing a return on that?
I don't know. I don't know when that's different for everybody. It's not the most, lucrative field to be in. So I think it's a huge risk to put your money into making art and promoting your art. But those are just the chances you take in believing in your small business.
Yeah, when we first met, I remember you telling me success in music could look like a lot of different things.
Success can look a lot of different ways in music or in life, but it depends on what success is to you. So if your success is to write songs that you love, then that, you know, just doing that can be as successful as you need to be. Or if you want to, you know, be a huge star for everyone to hear you, or if you just want to play little coffee shops, or if you want to be a producer, or if you want to be a traveling musician or one that stays home and writes. It's all different, and it's a bunch of different little roads you can take.
Yeah, I feel like externally, people in other industries don't take artists seriously unless they're kind of headlining.
Well, people will always be like, oh, when do you think you're going to make it? Or they'll ask artists, when are you going to make it?
Yeah.
And making it is so different to a bunch of different people. And that can sound like an insulting question when it's been your business and you've been making it for music for a decade. And like, oh, when do you think you're going to make it in music? And it's like, oh, well, I set out to do what I want to do. Just because you don't know who I am doesn't mean that I'm not
achieving
my goals.
Right. Yeah, lately I feel like, because I have like a foot in the entertainment industry and also the finance industry, like when I am in the finance world and I say like, hey, I am a producer and I make music, then they think I am not as great at finance or savvy at finance because I have these artist pursuits, and then they laugh at me. But then when I'm also in like the artist circles and I'm saying, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm also in finance, I've worked on Wall Street, then they don't think I'm as good of an artist, and they immediately just lose interest. I'm like, what is that? Why can't you be good at both?
You definitely can be good at both, and you're a great example of that. But most people don't work as hard as you. That's why they're shocked when they see someone that works so hard.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, I just I have a full-time job, and I wish that I could have gone back to my earlier self, who only wanted to be a full-time musician, and be like, you can get financially stable doing a bunch of different things, and that can really fund your struggling music industry business.
Yeah,
where you can fund your own artist career if you can, you know, start making money these other places.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a huge thing I've learned in the past couple of years.
You recently got out of debt, and I know this because I helped you.
Hey.
What have you learned in that process?
Being in debt or being bad with your finances and then waking up and being in debt is not a really great like way to have your brain kick off and be creative and be inspired when you are drowning in finances or debt. So getting out of debt and getting your finances in order can definitely free you up to think about other things than worrying about your money, to maybe free you up to write more songs or learn a new skill or to get better at your craft.
Because I remember you were like, you knew you had debt, but you didn't know where it was, right?
True.
I suggested this app called Mint.
I didn't know where it was, and I didn't want to know where it was.
Yeah, you just avoided it for your entire life, pretty much.
Yes.
You just need the information. Get the education of what is going on, what's happening, and then you can, it's your choice whether or not to do something about that, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, you hooked up your accounts to Mint, and through that...
Mint is awesome. Should you give them a little blurb about what Mint is? Because Mint is pretty tight.
Yeah. Mint is an app where you can view all of your financial accounts
in they should sponsor the podcast.
One environment. Sorry?
They should sponsor the podcast.
Tell them. Yeah, that'd be super cool if somebody from Mint came
so
on.
So give like a Mint, you know, advertisement here for them to hear.
I think I just did. Then through that, you were able to see where your debt lived.
Yeah.
Who was managing it.
Yeah, you could just see where your debts were, you know, and where you, when you start chipping away at them.
Right. So how did you chip away?
Yeah, I called the people that I was in debt with. Credit collection agency, I think.
I thought this was really smart. And you just kind of naturally did this, which was negotiate how much you owed, right?
Yeah, because I owed them money for a long time. And so they're like, I'll pay this much today if you'll clear it or whatever. And yeah. So they had a minimum of what they could drop it to where it counted as paid for. But also it was could pay it off for as little as possible.
Right. Were they nice about it?
Yeah. I think they were happy that I was paying money.
We found him after all these years.
Yes. I've been avoiding their calls perfectly.
So now, after you paid it off, did you see a difference in your credit score?
Totally. Credit score went up, and things are... Got a credit card.
First credit card.
About a year ago. Yes, I've been building up that credit score. That has felt nice.
Yeah. What's your goal?
I don't have too many financial goals, really, at this point. Getting out of debt was the biggest one.
Okay, so that's next. We got to work on those goals. Do you think there's a common reason why artists quit music?
Maybe they fall out of love with writing songs, or the lifestyle doesn't look like they thought it would be when they started. But I think if you really just love writing songs, then you always do that. But if like you love writing songs because you think you're going to be a superstar, and then you're not a superstar, and then writing songs isn't fun anymore, then I could see people stopping.
Yeah, people just want to be at the destination, but not along the
journey. Well, some people love the craft of writing songs, which is a struggle, and it's not easy, and you could write all day and write nothing.
Yeah.
But loving the pursuit of writing songs, the craft of it, and noticing yourself getting better, I think, is what keeps people excited to keep doing it. If you love that, I think you can do it forever, and you'll get really good. But if you do it, and you're like, oh, but I want to reach this point, or I want to be selling this many tickets, or I want to... You know, and then those that can be hard to accomplish.
But then at some point you do have to set those goals to level up.
It's good to have goals and to have things that you want to do. But if that's the sole purpose, like the future things that you're planning to do is the reason that you're doing it. And then, you know, if those things don't work out, then maybe you'll stop.
You'll be disappointed and burn out.
But if you're like, I just like to write songs and like, and I'm excited to see where it takes me.
Yeah.
But I just, at the core, I like to write songs. I think those people never stop.
That's true. I hope you don't stop. You're so good. Are you working on anything new?
I'm always trying to work on something new. I've been putting out like a song a month since June, and the goal is to kind of keep that going. I think so far I'm on track for the next couple months, but we'll see how long we just keep going.
I know you said you don't have too many financial goals, but like, is there something that you do want to learn about your finances?
I mean, ideally, okay, here's a financial goal that I haven't thought about, but now you're challenging me to think about. I would love to build up my savings to where I could start making investments that were making me money without me working. So whether that was, you know, whatever the right investment would be, but what, maybe real estate or different types of investment that I could save up for to eventually start to just be my own boss and different revenue streams coming in.
Passive income. We love that.
Yeah. So, you know, I hear you talking about those things, and I'm definitely curious to learn more about that when my savings get big enough.
I love that. Love those weekend goals you have.
Yes.
He hates it, but I always ask him what his weekend goals are.
And I always tell her that my goal was to have no goals this weekend. And she doesn't allow that here. No. She won't have it.
What is one piece of financial advice that you would give to other musicians?
In life, you can figure, there's a lot of different ways you can get financially stable. Music is not the easiest one. You know, get good at music, but at the same time, also get financially stable doing whatever it is. And then you can fund your own career, and you won't have to be hoping an investor or a label or a publisher comes along and gives you a little bit of money to do what you want to do, and you can just go get a job or save up or work a little harder and then fund your own.
Yeah, you have leverage to negotiate a better deal for yourself.
You can build your own studio in your house for way cheaper than you ever could. It's easier now than ever to do it yourself and to learn a new skill. And you can do that and run your business while also making money other ways to fund that. You don't have to be a full-time musician to be legit.
You taught me a lot about recording and building your studio in-house, which has been really interesting and challenging because it forces you to learn all these new skill sets.
Totally.
But I think long term, it definitely makes a lot of sense, bringing production costs down and also being more self-sufficient. You can kind of create a little bit faster once you get good.
Totally. It's like teaching someone to fish, you know, so they can
feed themselves.
Really. Yes. Yeah. That's the method. You can do it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, and you make an earlier point that's really great, which is creating other sources of income, because the industry as it built isn't really sustainable for artists.
Not right now, or people, especially if you're just a songwriter. But I think that it's very feasible to make your own money doing whatever it is and then funding your music career. Whether you're a bartender or you're do real estate or you work in finance or you work for a new tech company like me, you can fund your own career. You can be your own boss. If you get successful in music, your business manager will come to you and say, we have new ways for you to make money. We need to start doing this. And then you will become a businessman. Or you can start that before you're successful and be your own businessman as you're starting to learn music. And then you can fund your own career.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Danny Place.
This was so much fun.
I just did both of your names there. Is it weird that I said both of your names?
Not at all, Grant Terry.
Okay.
This content is for general information purposes only and do not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice.
You can seek appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional.